Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, guys, and welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Bobby Norris, and tonight I'm joined by a lovely, stunning co-host, the lovely, the gorgeous, the amazing Priscilla. How are you,
my love? Hey, Bobby. I am so excited to be joining you. Oh, this is... Yeah, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun. I'm great. And oh, that intro was everything.
It's so lovely to have you with me this evening. And can I just say how stunning you are? I mean, obviously, you're stunning on the telly. You're even blooming and glowing on a Zoom. And I'm here for it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I want to get my glow. See the glow. But you look, you're looking pumped. You're looking, you've been going hard.
Thank you, babe. Yeah, do you know what? I never thought I'd be that guy. I kind of was a bit late to the party joining the gym. But since starting it, I just absolutely love it. More than anything, it's good for my head to train. I just absolutely love it. So being over there today. How's your day been? You been up too much?
I had my laser hair removal. I'm three sessions in. And I'm telling you, I am loving this new clean me.
It's so weird you say that because I was literally about two nights ago, someone DM'd me about this actually, and I've been umming and ahhing because I can't tell you the amount of V I get through. Not an ad, but if anyone from V is listening, get in touch because we'll do an ad. I get through so much of it, and not because I'm hairy, because I'm not. I get about three hairs on my chest. I've got about four on each leg, but I like to be completely hair-free. So I thought I might go down that route. What is it like? Is it a painful procedure?
How's your pain threshold, though? Can you tolerate pain?
I can sit and have tattoos. I've got like a sleeve. I think I've got about 18 tattoos. So that kind of pain I can do. But when it comes to blood tests and things like that, I'm a baby. I don't mind a tattoo gun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, needles. I'm not a fan of needles. I'm a bit of a phobic.
Do you know what? You will be absolutely fine. So how I describe the pain at first is like, imagine getting an elastic band and it's just like pinging you.
That's a bit like a tattoo.
Yeah, and it's just constant. But each time you go, because the hair follicles get thinner, the pain goes. Like my armpits now, I'm sitting there chilling, having the time of my life and just conversing.
Is it like a burning sensation?
It does get a bit hot. But then with the actual gun that they use, there's like cool air blowing out. So it's like it's hot, but then it cools down straight away. But you can do it.
I'm going to do it. It's a sign that you've bought this up. I'm all about signs and that. I'm going to absolutely give it a go. So what have you done? Underarms, if that's not too personal to ask.
No, absolutely. I've done my underarms and I've done the whole Brazilian. So all downstairs. I was like, this has got to go. So
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I might just get the lockdown.
It makes sense. It's more hygienic, more clean, and you just feel better. Like I like a little clean cleavage, shall I say.
Yeah. Yeah, there is something about being airy. I know different horses for different courses, but for me personally, I like when I get out of the shower and I'm moisturized, I like to be silky smooth, shall we say.
But do it, like you won't regret it at all.
I'm going to do it, babe. It's going to happen. We'll compare notes. To be honest, I don't know how many sessions I'll need because I've hardly got anything, but I guess it's just the follicles and whatever's deep-rooted in there. It'll take them all of about 7 minutes probably to do, mate.
It's so quick. I was in and out less than 10 minutes and that's including me videoing myself. I'm like, hey,
getting that content for the gram.
Got to get the content. Can't forget it. But when I'm telling you, you do like six sessions in total, but that's just so that the hair doesn't grow back. So each time it gets lighter and lighter. But but you'd love it. You'd love it.
Perfect. I'm doing it. I'm doing it, babe. Sold. So it's been one of them weeks, hasn't it? It's all going on. Now, we'd love to start the show with a bit of showbiz news. I'm always here for it. What's caught your eye, hun?
Oh, one thing we have to talk about. Mariah Carey season is here.
It certainly is. For me, it's not Christmas until I hear that song.
Yeah. And she entered it fabulously. I mean, she did the Halloween video of like a witch on a bike. And then on the 31st, then on the first, she's all there in her Christmas wear, like, it's here. Yeah.
She knows it's coin season. Literally midnight, yeah, the 1st of November, Mariah goes into full-on Christmas mode. And do you know what? Happy days. Girls got a rate. Do you know what I mean? Cost of living and everything. But, I mean, it's her time, isn't it? But I was reading up on it because, obviously, I love a little bit of Mariah. I'm only human. And I'm just going to put it out there. It is my favourite Christmas song of all time. And that's always my massive indicator that it's Christmas. That and the Coca-Cola truck. And I've not seen that advert yet, actually. I've seen a lot. But where's Holidays Are Coming? Holidays Are Coming. Yeah. I've not seen it yet. So it's not Christmas.
Oh, my gosh.
But I have been reading about the old Mariah, not calling her old, by the way, just in case you're listening, Mariah, love ya, trying to trademark herself as Queen of Christmas to not much success. What's your thoughts on that, Priscilla?
I think that was very cheeky. Very, very, very cheeky. I mean, we will give it to you in terms of us calling it, but trying to trademark a whole Queen of Christmas, you did not come up with the season. You did not. Christmas, fair enough, you've coined off of it, but it doesn't belong to you solely. So I thought that was cheeky. So they did good in saying, Mariah, we're gonna rein this in a bit. we're gonna say no on that occasion. And I agree with them. She gets enough from the song alone.
Well, I read, allegedly, I think she makes at least, this is obviously all rumour mill, but a minimum of 2 million every Christmas just from that song being played, which to her is probably a drop in the ocean, 2 mil. But it to us, it's a lot of dough, 2 mil, especially to earn it just in like the lead up to Christmas. But I know what you mean. I mean, I'm going to be really real. I can't imagine another human in the world even trying to trademark that. Only Mariah could. Do you know what I mean? Mm. But I think a couple of people tried to appeal it and reject it, and I think that's why it's not gone through. Right. But like you say, it's a hard one, isn't it? Because although, and I'm giving it to you, as I've said, my favourite Christmas song, I'm sure I'm not alone, you've done it, you smash it year in, year out. But do you officially need that title? I wonder if it's more for like merch. Because Queen of Christmas, if you say Queen of Christmas, for me, I'm like MC. Who else? Gotta be. Yeah. But if it becomes for like, yeah, if it comes to for merch, and because you want to be able to put that on things, it kind of does open up a can of worms for so many other avenues, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Because as you said, she gets almost what, 2 million, which is nothing for her. But then you have all these little Christmas festivals, Christmas markets, all these vendors that are putting things out for Christmas. So where do they get to eat? So I thought it was ultimately very cheeky, because anything Christmas, Queen of Christmas related, would have to be run through her. And is she going to give someone else another coin? I don't think so. She's just going to be like, no, it's not coming from me. No, it's not my kind of taste. And you know, she's a bougie girl. She loves the finest thing. So if you are not like crossing those T's, dotting those I's, she's going to be like, absolutely not.
Yeah, that is a good point, actually. If it comes to someone like Ariana trying to release a Christmas single one year, I think Mariah's going to be like, forget it. Ain't happening. So I guess it kind of gives someone too much of a monopoly over something, doesn't it?
Yeah, she's already the song of the season. I don't think
exactly. And let's have it right. You wouldn't mind being a pound note behind the woman. And she's going to rate all right this Christmas. She's doing all right. And even in a cost of living crisis, I think she's doing good. So do you know what? You might have lost the trademark, Mariah, but you're doing all right, girl. So it's one of them things. I'm sure she's probably not too bothered anyway, as we say. I mean, Mariah Carey, come on, just do another tour. I'll need her to come and do a tour. I did see her a few years back, actually. She was at the O2. It was a Christmas one. And literally, I think it was the last song. was obviously the iconic one, which you're all there for. So yeah, just bang out another couple of tours, babe. And I wonder how much you would earn being Queen of Christmas. I mean, that would probably piss all over the 2 mil in airplay, actually. Because if you think of every jumper, every scarf, every glove,
anything you can think of, like, she would be able to make. Yeah, she would make a raking amount.
That's like printing your own money, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. She should do like a little winter wonderland, though. I'd go to Mariah Carey's Christmas Wonderland.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
That would be cool.
If she stands on stage and sings as we go down the aisle with Skelter or whatever.
Love that.
Absolutely. So moving on from the lovely Mariah and Christmas, have you been watching, another indicator for me that Christmas is fast approaching is always when the jungle starts. Have you been watching this year's I'm a Celeb?
I have been watching I'm a Celeb this year, and we have a few interesting people.
Talk to me, babes. Talk to me.
First of all, I was screaming when I saw Boy George in there. Firstly, yes. I just thought he was absolutely incredible. But the person who is stealing all the shine is obviously Matt Hancock.
Very much so.
He's dust because he wasn't starting lineup. He came in slightly later. So I thought they dropped him because everybody had the backlash of, why is he going in? He's currently a running politician. Like, why is he doing this? So I genuinely thought they dropped him. And then they did the whole slow-mo, the teasing. And I was like...
That yeah, it's BT. Absolutely killed me with the hat and the way that the laugh and the look at the camera. The VT at the top of that episode just absolutely killed me. What's your thoughts? Because obviously everyone over here and everyone who's watching is talking about it. Even people that have never watched an episode of I'm a Celeb in their life. It's got everyone talking. I'm sure there's more than a handful of people in the House of Parliament that have downloaded the app and have been voting for him to do all them trials, let's have it right. What's your thoughts on how camp reacted to him going in and how they are now? Have you seen a little bit of a difference as the days have gone on?
So how everyone reacted, obviously, I think everyone was like, what is he doing? Why is he going on there? Is he trying to do some sort of redemption in the public eye? Which I think I had very similar thoughts. I thought he's redemption time. And I was just almost like, you did what you did. Why do you need redemption? Why are you going on the show? But then I was like, let's see what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Since he's been in there, I've kind of been, I don't know. I think I'm warming up to him, you know, Bobby. I think I'm warming up to him.
And this is kind of the situation I think a lot of people are now going to find themselves in with it, is because when anyone goes in the jungle, you judge, obviously, but before they go, when we get like leaked lists of who the celebs are going to be, everyone starts going on, what's your thoughts, this, that and the other, and people assume how they think that's going to be.
Yeah.
But when you strip all that back a day or two in, especially by day three, when all them celebs are in there, whatever part of the industry they're from, that kind of all gets stripped back and you're then watching them living that life in the jungle. Yeah. So it's obviously, when it was announced that the lead up to it in the first couple of days from going in, it's still fresh on everyone's mind. Now, I mean, I think it's always going to be on people's mind what the horrificness of COVID and all of that was. But that aside, I think now, because he's done so many trials, he's had so much airtime. Also, the celebs in the camp as well, it's a really hard situation because you don't want anyone to feel left out, to feel like they're bullied, because there'd be nothing worse than being isolated in the jungle by the other 9, 10, 11 celebs, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's just awful. You wouldn't want that to happen to anyone. So I think some people now are swaying. When I've seen, like, people, like, doing indicator polls on social media and stuff, where day one he walked into now, I think the last I saw, like, 28% of people had warmed up to him slightly. Yeah. Now, when he gets back to E-Throw, whether that sticks or not, who knows? Because there's a hell of a lot of people And I think it all depends on how your lockdown was, what your situation was. Sadly, who lost people. Everyone's got a different experience through lockdown. Although we was all in it together, everyone had a slightly different experience. So there's one thing judging the man now on an hour's edited episode from his time over the last 24 hours living in a jungle. But I don't know whether he comes out and do you think he could possibly win it?
He ain't going to win. Absolutely.
No, I don't think he's going to win.
He's not going to win. I don't think he has the personality, the character or any of that to win it. I feel like this is just making us see him more in a human form. So it's almost like when he's in the jungle, I'm almost able to, starting to kind of separate the person from the business. And I feel like that's what the jungle is doing now. And that's just seeing him in this new environment. When he comes back out and it's business as usual, I don't think that person comes back out. He's going to put on his suit, put on his tie and go back into business mode. I don't necessarily think he's going to take that same remorse or whatever he feels back out with him. And I don't really know. Like, for example, when I think, was it Babatunde or Charlene? I know they both had conversations with him. And one thing, obviously, he was sorry for obviously he felt remorseful about the situation, the adultery, whatever that happened. But when they were asking about PPE and things like that, he kind of wasn't taking ownership about it. He was just pretty much just saying that at that time, it just was the best that he could do. When it was just like, there was definitely some mismanagement in this all over process. So for him to not own up to the mismanagement, it's kind of like, okay, you're still not ready. From a business point of view, you're still not ready to make that transition and kind of do better is what I feel personally. So yeah. I'm going to enjoy him as a human being and for the entertainment purposes while he's in there. But what he does, his line of work, still questionable for me, if I'm being honest.
That's what confused me, because he seemed, as you say, more apologetic about the affair, whereas actually, in the nicest possible way, without being crude, I couldn't care less about him shagging the secretary at the moment. I'm more worried about the PPE situation, the people that was being discharged from hospital, going back into care homes with COVID that wasn't being tested, and then spreading COVID like glitter in care homes, and the thousands of people we've lost due to that. So actually, whether you're giving her one in the office or not, really weren't at the top of my list. What people do behind closed doors, I mean, that's another situation. My thing is always more how, in your seniors, like your position you had, that the errors you had, and to put your hands up and be more apologetic than that, than the affair. I mean, the one truthful thing I was pleased to hear was, I think a few nights ago when, and he didn't admit this at first, I think Charlene pulled him to one side a day or two after him going in there. I would have pulled him to side before he could have even put his bag down and picked a bed. But that's a different story. But when he eventually, after a couple of days, said, essentially, I think what I'm looking for is a bit of forgiveness, I thought, thank fuck. That's honesty there. Whereas at first, there was the first couple of days when people said, why are you here? It was like, oh, politics, we want to get to a wider audience, got to go where the audience are. No, bullshit lies. That ain't the situation. Be honest. Walk in. Be a man about it. Put your balls on the table and go, look, I fucked up. I'm sorry. I want a bit of forgiveness. Like, I would have more respect for you for being honest than telling more porky pie. So I'm glad that he did say that in the end. Is he going to win? I don't think as long as he's got a hole in his ass, he's going to win. But I think... I don't know if he'll go first. I think it's going to be a big indicator, actually. If he doesn't go first, I think he could probably last the duration. I don't know. I don't think he'd be a finalist at all, but I reckon if he don't go first, he could do a good few days into the eviction process. Yeah. But
Yeah.
But I have seen actually in the press today, some of the friends and family of the Sebs have all started to fly out there.
Yes, that's
good. Which is mad to think we're getting into that part of the show now where people, and once one goes, it's just every night, bang, bang, bang. It seems to have just gone so quick, doesn't it?
I've blinked and we're like already halfway, like it's crazy.
I'm gutted for them though, because I always think that one of the best parts about being evicted, if you do get evicted early on, is at least she was going back to the Versace. She was going to a nice, stunning suite, having a lovely hotel. Do you know what I mean? Apparently this year they're not staying in the Versace.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
There's some sort of luxury though. After being in the jungle, all of that, no.
I'm sure it would still be a very tasty hotel. But no Versace for them. What's your thoughts on, like, a little prediction? Who's your winner?
Oh, I think I'm a bit biased. I do love a bit of Babatunde.
I do love him.
It's just his commentary, the stuff that comes out of his mouth. He's just got this. He's got this likability about him that I just want more. I'm just like, I almost want to give him a cuddle.
He's a really, really sweet man. I did a pilot with him about a year ago. So I got to spend an afternoon and an evening with him. We was filming this thing. And it was just, it's such a funny man. And one of them people, and I've said already, I believe that when you're in that environment, you want someone of interest, you know what I mean? Someone that you can bounce off, or someone that's going to pass the time. Because on all these shows, I'm sure you know from Love Island, like, time is a big thing. Like, when you're on a show and there's no going home, people like my friends that have done Jungle, Big Brother and all them kind of things, that when you're not going home, like, every hour feels like a day. So if you've got even just a couple of people you can chat with, vibe with and bounce off, that's what you need in a situation like that, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah, absolutely. Because you want to feel like home away from home. So if someone can give me that sort of enjoyment or that warmth, I'm just going to gravitate them to them and I want them to be there forever. So, yeah. Who's your prediction?
See, day one, which I mean is always an early one to call, but I like to throw it out there. I was kind of like, it's been a toss up between the two, and I still very much, it's hard to call, but I think they're both going to be finalists. Jill and Mike.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I think, Jill for me, I think everyone in there really is, it's a really good cast. It's a really good lineup. She seems amazing. That they've smashed it. And Mike as well. I mean, I'm not a huge rugby player. Clear, I bet that shocked you. You nearly fell off your chair in shock there, Priscilla. I'm not a huge rugby player. Never played apart from a couple of games at school and wasn't very good. I had the little gum shield and everything. But yeah, it weren't my vibe. I didn't like getting muddy. But I like the spilling of royalty. Do you know what I mean? That when you turn around, like, I think it was like one of the first episodes where it was like, yeah, me and the missus, we both like to get smashed. I thought, I'd love that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
give me more.
Fill the tea. Yeah, I was thinking, I wonder if we're going to hear anything about Harry and Meghan, but I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, no, he won't.
Anything else caught you by, my love?
Oh, what has been going on? So I saw something briefly about Katie Price.
I've seen this in the press.
Yeah, apparently she was supposed to go on Celebs Go Dating with her ex. I believe it is Celebs Go Dating, if I'm correct. But it got cut.
Yeah, I was reading it. Apparently, her ex Chris, when they was together, obviously they had gone. Do you know sometimes they do? I've not watched it for a little while actually, but I think now they have couples going for couple therapy that aren't part of the agency as such. It's not the celebs that are looking. They kind of just do like couple advice, and I think they like to do like some celeb couples. So apparently, Katie and Chris had gone on their first couple counselling, but I think it clashed with another one of her commitments. So that meant that E4 had to pull the footage and cut it from the show.
That's interesting.
I think it was Anna that was talking about it in a recent interview. Anna one of the gurus, and I think she was saying, yeah, that's her dream, her dream kind of celeb, to celebrity cancel. Like, what would the word be for that? Her dream celebrity couple counselor candidate. I mean, how many C's? With a mouthful of Vinnies. That ain't easy to say.
It's not, but that would have been... Well, I felt Katie in general, she's just TV gold. Like, she is TV reality. We got to give her flowers. She knows how to entertain us and keep us engaged. So to see her there in therapy, that would have been interesting.
That would I think it definitely would have been interesting. For her, though, I bet, cause you know what it's like, especially when you're no longer with someone and you filmed TV with them. I bet looking back now, she's with someone else. I bet she's kind of glad the footage was pulled, though, because there's nothing worse than if you ever see yourself. Because obviously things live forever, don't they? On ITV, up or various platforms, that would obviously be 4OD. And obviously the world of YouTube, them clips never go anywhere. So would it be a bit of you, that show? Or are you well and truly off dating on TV?
Do you know what? Dating on TV? I don't think so. I was asked to go on X on the Beach. I had to turn it down. I declined.
You didn't fancy it.
I was thinking about going to look at my ex and just talk about everything in the public eye. I don't know if I could do that. And then there's another one in Canada. I think it's like The Bachelor or something like that. They called me to go on it.
Love that.
And I was like, is there something on my head saying desperately needing a date?
I think you did well to swerve that, though. If you don't want to be bumping into ex, there's nothing worse than having a film with your ex, especially if you've got an ex that likes to rewrite history and completely changes what happened and rewrites the narratives, even though everyone already knows. So, yeah, you might have done yourself a favour there, actually, because it's a head fuck, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. No dating show.
What else has gone on this week? Oh, did you see? Heading over to the Kardashian land now. I always like to touch upon a Kardashian slash Jenner, wherever I can. Did you see that Kendall Jenner has been spotted at Harry Styles' concert with Sister Kylie?
Yes. See, my thing about this is being someone in the public eye, and I think you can agree yourself, just because I'm somewhere doesn't mean I'm necessarily doing something. She could just be a huge Harry Styles fan and just, you know, just want to support him. But then again, I mean, they were linked a couple years ago, so who knows?
It all depends on how things parted and how the breakup was. I mean, if things end civil, because some relationships you kind of both just sit down and go, you know, this ain't working. And when you're on the same page, there's no better thing than that, because not one person's harboring something and no one's done someone wrong.
Right.
Whereas where the worm turns, when if someone's cheated on you, for instance, and not treated you very nice and embarrassed you and all that stuff, especially if it's public, would you go and sit through a show or whatever your job was? No one really wants to go and work with an ex, especially if it's not a nice ex and hasn't ended on good terms. So they must get on all right. So showing a little bit of support, which is nice. And can we just appreciate, I don't know if he's a bit of yo, but Harry Styles just gets hotter and hotter. Like, when did this happen? Like,
he was like One Direction, yeah, that's done, and evolved. Like, he was in his cocoon and he's turned into this beautiful butterfly that has fantastic face and is an incredible musician that just makes you fall in love every time he performs.
He looks like he's got a fantastic everything. I'm going to have to be honest. I think he is my celeb crush.
He's a bit of you. Yeah.
Very much a bit of me, but only very recently. Do you know what I mean? It's not like I was never a big, and no shade. I think just because of a nose thing, so no shade, I know obviously globally there was a lot of directioners out there that followed every single, every album. I was never that, do you know what I mean? They had some absolute tunes, and they're still bangers when they come on in the car. There's certain ones I'll turn up and I'm like, yeah, tune. But I was never a hardcore fan of the band as such. But Harry, absolutely.
No, I hear it. I didn't pay attention to him either until he did this whole solo thing. And yeah, Watermelon Sugar High.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, blowing up, you know. His goals. So yeah, I'm reckoning that. Do you think it means him and Kendall are maybe back together? Because where people, you know, with people, like, especially if someone's seen it, people put two and two together. Whereas I think you wouldn't bait yourself up like that. If they was going for dinner, shall we say, if they was having a steak and chips or whatever, or going for a Big Mac, and you was trying to keep it on the DL, the last thing you would do is get packed at his concert with your famous sister as well, knowing that the press are going to pick up on it. It's one of them things that, I mean, especially when you're a Jenner and Kris Jenner's your mum, you know what the game is. You know what I mean? You would know how to play that better. If I think it just looks like an innocent night.
I think it is an innocent night, especially because her and Travis just had their second baby as well. Baby's still pretty fresh. So when you're thinking about that, she might just be thinking, everybody knows I've just had a newborn, a mum of two. Although we did have history, I just want to have a good night with an incredible musician who happens to be my friend, so I can also support him. So I'm going to go for friends, but
yeah,
you never really know what goes on, because one moment that her and Travis are together, next moment they're co-parenting. So, I mean, what is it? A shoulder to cry on or something? Can't remember the saying.
I don't know what they say.
Your ex like that though.
Would I be friends with an ex? As I say, it depends how the breakup ended. There isn't many exes, like, not besties. I think because there's always that thing. I can't, because you know some people are like, they become like best friends with their ex. I mean, it's very rare. I'm not on that level, but it's always nice to be civil. I'm just at a stage in my life, and I think I maybe it's an age thing as well. I would rather be able to smile at someone in the street than frown. I just think life's too short. There's so much shit going on in the world. That's, I think it's far easier to say hello, all right, if you bump into them, than to have beef, which is easier said than done if it's not been a breakup. So yeah, for me, if it's a mutual thing, or it's just one, even if it's not mutual, one's decided but both was honest about it, for me where it becomes a bit sticky and not so nice is when, yeah, where if someone's cheated on you or treated you like shit and stuff like that, and because it's the ongoing part of that. Actually, it goes far beyond the act of someone cheating. I think for me personally, I think, and for a lot of people, it's not even just so much. It is at the time, but I think you carry that with you for a while, and it's the knock-on effect what it does to people's like self-esteem and stuff like that, and people's confidence. So there's some exes I'd have a toffee nut latte within Starbucks, and then there's some, yeah, that I'd quite happily never see again. Would you?
I'm a big let's go cordial, let's coexist in the same space. Yeah. Do I want to be your friend? I don't think I want to. I don't want to be your enemy either. So I think just out of respect, I'd keep my distance, but I would want us, if we ever did bump into each other in a situation, just to be able to say, hi, you're right, good. Because that one time you were everything I wanted. So I don't want to have that malice towards you. I don't want to have that kind of anger or hate in my heart.
Yes.
But I do. Would I hang out and come and support you at a show? Unless we genuinely have that relationship, which I think is very rare, probably not. Mm. If I'm being honest with you, probably not. But then their circles kind of cross over. I mean, I can't do stuff. So in that situation, they were probably around each other a lot more and got used to coexisting to the point that they can be friends like that. But if I don't have to be around you, I think I'd rather, I wouldn't. And just for my partner's sake, because in my head, I was like, oh, what does Travis think about you going to the show?
I agree. For me, the negativity part is I just don't think anyone should harbour. There's so much stress and shit the last few years, just in the world in general, and life can be stressful and hard enough, can't it? So actually, why carry anything you don't have to? So actually, I'm a big believer that actually indifferent is an all right place to be, because you know when people go, oh, I hate him or I hate her, hate's an emotion. And believe it or not, hate's very close to love. It's very passionate to hate someone. Actually, you've got to be at a stage where actually you wouldn't give them the steam off your own piss. And you're like, actually, hello, you're right. But ain't on my radar. Oh, a little smile. Oh, are we going to be WhatsApping each other or giving you relationship advice? Absolutely not. But yeah, being different. Don't harbour anything negative. Again, it all depends on the situation and the breakup, though. Look, us, we're like a couple of dating gurus, aren't we? Watch out, Anna and Paul, I'll be after their job.
I know. There's a new therapist in town.
Imagine. It's been a busy old week, showbiz land. I was thinking, if anything... I think that's about it. I'm really, really excited about tonight's show. Obviously, lovely to be joined by you. Great little pre-chat, spilling the tea and getting all the gossip. I knew we'd have an absolute fab show. And we've got some incredible guests. So we are joined by Drag Race UK, baby. And from the Mole, we have got William Richardson, the winner. So... we have got a right little reality fest going on right here, and I'm here for it. Let's get baby on and talk all things Drag Race.
Yes.
So excited to have you on the show. I knew you wouldn't fail, but can we just talk your look? You're giving me life, babe. You look stunning.
I've got a little like leopard print, little titty moment as well. I wanted to be like,
oh,
cute.
Love a bit of leopard.
Oh. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
And I love wild. Your, I love the name. My dog's called Baby. It's a sign.
I just feel like it was meant to happen. Do you know what I mean? I feel like we're heading for it via your dog. Yeah.
What have you been up to? Busy, busy girl.
Oh, very, very busy. Just lots of things and lots of stuff. And I think it's weird. I'm kind of seeing my career kind of like start to like manifest itself. Now like, I'm traveling a lot now, and I got to go to like Dundee and do a show out there, and then go straight to Newcastle and there's a little like tour life moment. Obviously my music's out. It was like filming the music video for that the other day, and that's coming out soon. Like lots of really cool things are happening. So yeah, I'm really good.
Oh, can we get a sneak peek of what the music video is looking like? Can you give us some concepts?
The concept, it's kind of like very like dystopian futuristic, a bit gritty, a bit dark, a bit cool. I think it's gonna be major. Of course I would, but like I think you guys are gonna really gonna like it. Yeah.
I think it's gonna be a little, and music is truly where your passion's at, isn't it, babe?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been like a performer type, dancery, acting-y person, but I feel like music is the place where I get to really express myself, because obviously I feel like when I'm normally like touring and performing, I'm normally lip syncing other people's songs. So obviously while like you get a taste of what I'm into, because obviously I'm performing to it, to have your own music is like such a better representation of who I am. So that's where like I'm really vibing that. I really get to do that. And yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Do you find it quite therapeutic to write song lyrics?
I said, yeah, I mean... I think I'm one of those very like internal people where I need to like think and process everything. And I think writing the lyrics kind of helps me express those things and kind of like have a conversation with myself and go, oh, like, why do I want to talk about that? What is that triggering in my head that I need to verbalize that? And it kind of like a therapy session in a way, and kind of helping me understand my things outside of music and just like life. It's really interesting.
So yeah, I can really understand it, because I'm a big one for writing things down, and If I can't physically write it, obviously, like a lot of people, I'll put notes on my phone. But for me, there's something very cathartic about just putting pen to paper, like everywhere I have, pads, notebooks. I just loved, and I have to have one in my bedside table. Don't know what it is with my brain. The minute my head hits the pillow, I start thinking about things and I start writing. Nothing really of any use. It's not like I'm cracking the Da Vinci Code or anything.
It's like a stream of consciousness. You just need to, yeah, let it out.
Got to write it down. I'm like, oh, Craven Dow in the morning. Like, yeah. Just in case I wake up and forget that I need milk.
Do you find it easier to write things down than to communicate? So then to communicate what's on your mind. So you'll rather write than talk. So
I'm a big talker.
Okay, so it doesn't matter. It's just another vessel.
No, big talker. Like for me, I'm the person who, like, I need to process everything. If I'm in a relationship, I'm like, what's happening? Let's talk about our feelings. Why do we feel like this? Like, I'm very, so I think that's why sometimes it takes me a bit longer to write, because I feel like when I'm just talking, I can kind of just release it. Whereas like when it's writing, it's like, okay, like, how do I want to say that? What does that mean? What's the narrative behind that? Why that particular word? Why that use of language? And I really kind of like dissect it. So songwriting to me, I'm still like getting into, I feel a bit feeling very natural, but I think I like to be very intentional with everything. So I never just kind of write something and was like, why?
But baby, obviously, got to talk about Drag Race for a bit.
I'll go on, girl.
How did you find the experience?
For me, I mean, girl, it's hard. Like, Drag Race is hard. It's called the Olympics of drag for a reason. It was just, and I think what funny thing is, like, I think obviously people see my run in the show and they go like, oh, that's a competition. The actual like drag side of it is like cool. Like, I'm good at stuff. Like, I won some stuff. I'm cool. Do you know what I mean? But I think that coupled in with like being on a set, like you're away from your family, you don't really have contact with anybody, you're in a hotel room, like you're doing long days, like that kind of work environment of being on a reality TV show, which is a lot for me. And I was like, I'm quite a sensitive, creative, little precious soul. So that kind of like big like TV world was quite like intense for me. And I think where obviously you don't really have much control of what's going on because you are a participant in a show, it's, you don't have as much control over things. And I like to make my things and present them in the way that I want to have them and have, do you get what I mean? Like, I like to present myself in that way. And I think it's very vulnerable putting trust in those people to present you in the right way and present you accurately, but I'm really happy that they did, and I'm really happy with that idea, and they showed me as the lovely human being that I am, so I'm really, really happy. Yeah, but it was fucking hard. I will say that.
And do you have any regrets about leaving? Because not many people voluntarily walk from the show, do they? It's a very brave thing, and I think shows you're strong-minded to go, actually, I'm bowing out.
I think for me, like, I don't even have any regrets. I think my main regret potentially is like not leaving earlier, to be honest. Like, I wasn't feeling myself from like the moment I walked in there. If you ask one of the girls, I think one of the girls that like, they looked at me when I first walked in, they were like, are you okay? And I was like, no. So from the beginning, I was kind of just like, right, I'm here now. You know, we've invested all this time, invested all this money. It is Drag Race. Let's just give it our best go. So like, by like third episode, I think if you even watch third episode in the critiques, I'm not even really talking that much. I'm kind of just like smiling and nodding because I'm just like out of it by that point. Do you know what I mean? So like, I feel like I wish I called it a little bit earlier, but everything happens for a reason. I got to the lip sync with Dakota, got to have a little moment, then got to go out.
Amen. And how are you feeling now? Like to ask, obviously, it's filmed way in advance, isn't it? So from filming that to obviously hitting the screens to where you are now, do you feel in a better place?
Yeah, I think obviously everything's still really fresh. It only happened a couple of weeks ago. Well, like everything got announced and everything's been out. So I think I'm just adjusting to like people like recognizing me when I'm out in the street and stuff, and people being like really sweet. Like, that's a lot, but like on the whole, I'm enjoying life, and I'm like enjoying doing all like the sick like music video stuff and like traveling. I'm enjoying just like being my little pop star moment, so that's really fun. So yeah, I am in a happy place.
What's one of your favorite moments from the season out of all of the trials and tasks you did?
Oh, I think the girl group challenge, just because I was in my bag for girl group. I loved it. That was when I was like, oh, I could do this. I like this one. I'm good at this. Because normally if it's like improv, I was a bit like, oh gosh, like, I can't really do that. Like, what do I do? But for girl group, it was like, what? Singing and dancing and performing and choreographing. I was like, yes, like perfect. So I was in my element for that. that and sewing challenge, because Dakota was my girl. So like, I think we had like hot chocolate in the cafe like the day before, literally. It was like, oh, look, I really want to do something with you. We've been in teams. And then the next day it was like, Dakota and baby. We were like, oh my God, get out. So we were just like, oh my God, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And like, yeah, no, those are two of my moments where I just really had so much fun.
Oh, that's lovely.
Love that. Baby, I wanted to ask, obviously, because a lot of people have been talking about it on social media, and as you know, social media is such a huge thing now. The Drag Race social media team have come under fire.
Yes.
What's your thoughts on it?
You know what it is? For me, I think where in the past, you know, Taste, Tea Coffee, Vanity Milan, Astina have all kind of spoken about how we get treated as Black queens coming from Drag Race especially. So I think with that already being information that was out there, the conversation that was all being had, to then have that mistake happening from within the BBC team was a bit like, dude, like really? That's what I'm just like, it's embarrassing. And it was embarrassing, but I'm happy that they kind of took the initiative to go, yo, like, we're sorry. It was a mistake. No, we are genuinely sorry for anybody we've hurt by that. And the fact that they're even prepared to, like, make that much of an apology is a big step. So, a win is a win. A win is a win!
Absolutely, go absolutely. Oh, thank you so much for joining us this evening. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Lovely meeting you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Take care, babes.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She's gorgeous. So much good energy.
Yeah, great vibe. Great look as well. Loving the leopard print.
Yeah.
Stunning wig.
If you was to do Drag Race, what one task would you want to compete in?
Oh, do you know what? Snatch game.
Snatch game. Yeah. Who would you be?
Oh, what a question. Who would I be? That's really tough. There's so many iconic people I'd love to do. Who would I be? Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, actually. Because the thing is, as well, I think you've got to be able to, well, obviously, you've got to nail it and absolutely smash it. So there's people that obviously I think that are iconic and I'd love to do them. And I think I even know the looks I could do, the wig I could do for it.
Mm.
But I've got one of them voices that people literally hear me 2 aisles up the road in Sainsbury's and they're like, oh, we heard you from the next up. And like, if I call people on the, I've just got one of them voices and I can't do accents at all. I can't speak any other way apart from this. So that would be the thing that let me down, really. But yeah, good question though. Good question. What about you?
Oh, what would I, do you know what? I think it might be the girl group challenge.
Iconic.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'll just bring lead singer energy, main character energy. Got my little dancing, my singing, the moves. I think I'd do quite well.
Yeah, definitely. You bring in your energy to that. Me bringing my big dick energy to Snatch going, we've got this. On that note, let's get the lovely William in. Hello, William. You all right?
How are you? I'm doing great.
Hey.
Really good.
How are you
guys
doing?
Thank you for joining us. Thank you. So lovely to have you on the show.
It's my pleasure.
Are you up early there? What's the time where you are?
We're around noon here. It's like 11 something. Almost 11, I think.
Not bad. Oh,
sure, but in lunchtime. We're just about to eat dinner time.
Oh, yes. The time change is different, huh? It throws me off.
That's the thing.
So, yeah, and I think we owe you a congratulations, Mr. Winner.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
How does it feel?
I think at first it's a little surreal, especially like we watched it the same time everybody else did. So it's like we get to see it the first time the same way everybody else did. And like watching it back, you're like, oh, we did do that. Or like that did happen. So it's weird watching yourself, really.
Was you happy watching it back with how you come across and how the show was edited?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always a big fear of a lot of people is like you put yourself out there and you are completely vulnerable for how anybody wants to interpret you. And I mean, myself, like I'm beyond grateful for, you know, I thought I got to come off as my authentic self. And it's like things I thought like were me being me that they were, I was like, oh, they'd never use that. It's like ended up being in there. I was like, it's just 100% me. So I was very thankful for that.
And you walked away 100 grand richer. So so you can edit me how you want. When I've got 100 grand in the bank, I don't care.
$100,000 changes a lot of things.
What made you originally want? It certainly does. It's a lovely little prize that I wouldn't mind winning that. William, what made you want to sign up to the show? Was it the 100 grand or?
No. So honestly, I didn't audition. I was contacted, and it was basically a thing. I was like, hey, look, we have this amazing show, this amazing opportunity. It's the time of your life. And we are looking at a description of what they're looking for. And it's like point for point is you. And we're like, they're like, we think you're perfect for this. Would you care if we submitted you? And I was like, no, I don't care. Like, you don't think much of it at first. And I'm like, go for it. I don't care. Like, you know, you can put my name in there. And then like 4 months later, I'm packing a bag for Australia. I'm like, wow, this is pretty serious, huh?
Well,
serious.
Yeah, you absolutely smashed it. Are you quite big on gut instincts? Because from the bat, you called it, didn't you?
Yeah. So that's the other thing is like with editing and everything is like you have to have a show that like keeps people guessing and you don't want anybody to give it away. But I mean, yeah, compared to a lot of people, which is crazy to me, for me, it's relatively early is when I got like a suspicious instinct around probably what you guys would see as like episode 3 is like where I was very suspicious. But yeah, it's crazy to think not one other person voted for her. Like that's the part that blows me away the most.
It was dark for me. I'm not going to lie. At the beginning, how it looked, I was like, Joy, you're not doing very well. You look very suspicious. So your gut instinct is very strong. I'd say that.
Yeah. For me, it was similar to how you thought though. It was the opposite for me. Cause I'm like, I look at like people's mannerisms and like their emotions and like, you know, those are the things I was really focusing on through this process. And Joy was so like emotionally invested. And it was like a lot of those decisions she made that people called crazy to me, I was like, that's somebody who's scared and the mole's not going to be scared. I'm like that the famous $25,000 bet. I'm like, that's somebody who's scared. Like, that's the way I looked at it, which is like why I crossed Joy off immediately is those were the differences in like how I viewed people versus, you know, how other people looked at the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that something that you've always had in life? Because I think I'm a bit like you in terms of, I would say in my friendship group, all know me as the guy, they're all like Bobby and his gut instinct. Because when I feel something so strongly, like I've got a touch of the witchy poo about me, every time I go and I'm going off on a bit of a tangent. If I have like tarot readings, every kind of witch or psychic says to me, you could kind of do what we do. Some people just have that kind of sixth sense, and whether you're aware of it or not, have you always had that?
Yeah, so it's interesting you say that because my parents will tell you is I've always called it energy. I think everybody kind of looks at it something different. But my friends, you know, my family, they all tell you I'll walk into a room and if I'm not comfortable, like I feel overwhelmed with like a negative energy and I'm like, I don't want to be here. Like this is not my zone. This is not my spot. So for me, I feel the same thing about energy towards people. It's like, realistically, I can meet somebody one time and be like, I probably never want to hang out with you again. Like your energy was very, very toxic to me. So I don't like want to like, you know, experience that again. And that was so beneficial in this show because it's like, to me, it almost looks like common sense when a lot of people like were looking at things differently. And I was just like, I was, you know, expressing and feeling people's energy. And I'm like, this person's energy does not match what the criteria of the mole's position would be. And I just really went so heavily on that and it ended up paying off. I mean, it could have equally gone, you know, bad, I guess, but I can't second guess it now.
So other than your gut, did you have a strategy going in?
Yeah. So like I said, my biggest strategy was honestly to use my looks to an advantage, but not the way people thought. I think it's very disarming when you see somebody who's 6'6", you know, 250 pounds with a spray tan. It's like big jock dummy. Like he's not going to be anything to worry about. Just let him carry stuff and like get it over with. But I'm also a super analytical person. And so I came in with a very analytical approach to things, understanding, you know, a simple process through elimination on these quizzes is you can't leverage yourself too heavily early on, because no matter what anybody says, my gut instinct or not, the first three episodes, you're rolling dice. Like, yeah. It is really unfortunate for the, you know, the first three couple people who got eliminated, because I mean, you are trying to spread your answers as much as possible. So I think my approach going in is I knew that. I knew how I was going to be voting early. I knew I wasn't going to leverage myself too heavily one way or another. But in all fairness, a lot of it, I mean, unless you go like all in from the very beginning, then I wouldn't say it's luck. But a lot of it is luck early on. You have to play a very safe and analytical voting game in the beginning, but a lot of it is, you know, who got luckier, who got, you know, who guessed one group over the other group and got it right.
I guess it's a bit like the game Cluedo. I think in the States you call it Clue, isn't it? Like the very beginning part, you haven't really got much to go on, haven't you? It's not until you kind of get mid-game or towards the end where in your edge, you're already two steps ahead thinking, right, this is where we're at. So a fascinating show. I think it's an absolute incredible watch and so pleased for you, mate, honestly. Got to ask you before I let you go, have you spent your money on anything yet? If not, what are you going to spend your 100 bags on?
Yeah, no, it's honestly sitting pretty right now. I haven't touched it. I'm going to invest some of it. I'm going to put some into savings. And then I think the question that everybody has asked that you're going to get the first answer to officially, I think the first thing I'm going to spend money on is I'm going to travel a little bit. I've been wanting to travel a lot. So I think that will be the first place the money actually goes.
Oh, good for you. Well, you deserve it. You've absolutely smashed it.
I appreciate that so much, guys.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for joining us, William.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You're William. Welcome. Take care. Enjoy your travel.
You guys too. Bye. Thank you, guys.
It all become a blur when he said 6'6". Viking vibes. What a lovely, lovely man.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, incredible. What a lovely, lovely show. Fab guests, fab co-host. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself. How have you found it?
This hour has flown by. I feel like I can talk to you forever. Like I've had so much.
I know. Isn't it crazy when you just vibe?
Yeah.
It's just absolutely flown by. Any plans for the rest of the week, my love?
Oh, yes, I'm going to have a spa day because it's my cousin's birthday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that I'm really, really looking forward to. Because self-care, I think it's really important with all our busy lives and everything that's going on. So, yeah, that should be good. And then I'm off to Paris the week after.
Oh, lovely. On a romantic trip.
Oh, I wish. There's no one on the horizon right now. Gosh. That's why I'm getting invited to all them dating shows.
But well, no, you might meet the lovely French man over there.
Oh, oui, oui.
I've been twice. I wouldn't say since you've gone on a romantic one because I wouldn't want to jinx you. I've been to Paris twice with two exes, and the clue's in the title. They're both exes. So some say the most romantic city in the world. I'm not too sure.
Maybe not.
Maybe I just took the wrong man. Maybe it'd be different. If Harry Styles took me to Paris and took me up the Eiffel Tower, I'm sure we'd have a lovely time.
Absolutely. Have you got anything planned?
Well, apart from Harry Styles taking me up the Eiffel Tower. what have I got planned? I've got a friend's birthday Friday night, which will be nice. And then seeing family at the weekend. So pretty much a childish one. Lots of eating.
Oh, I love that.
Basically. Yeah. Don't you think, especially when it starts getting to winter for me, I know, like, especially, when it starts getting a bit cold, I go into hibernation mode because it gets dark so early. And I'm always thinking about food and eating, really.
two things, and they both make me happy. And if I can do it in bed, even better. That's like my holy trinity.
Amen. Yeah, goals.
Yeah.
I've got to think what I'm going to have for my dinner now. But on that note, enough about my stomach. Thanks for listening, guys. Been an absolute pleasure. Hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll be back next week. Take care.